Next Sunday, me and my family will be gone. My brother-in-law, Deanna's brother, is getting married a week from today. And so we have the privilege of being able to go see that union. And so we'll be there in Virginia next Sunday for that wedding. And so next week, you'll have a message as well. It won't be on 1 Samuel. And then when we get back, we have a Christmas Eve service. I'm looking forward to that. And we'll have a short gospel message Christmas Eve service. I'd really encourage you to bring your family. It's a great time to be together and worship as family. And then also friends and neighbors or coworkers, invite them to come. They can come as they are, and I'll give a short gospel message, a plain gospel message on Christmas Eve. And then on the 26th, we'll look at the topic, I believe the topic of hope is kind of where my heart is being led right now. We'll look on the 26th, the topic of hope. So we'll look at these different topics over the next few weeks. And so I want to talk to you about the topic of peace this morning. You know, one of the beautiful things about this time of the year is the spirit of kindness, the spirit of generosity that this time of the year kind of ushers in. By and large, it seems and appears that most people seem to be kinder, gentler, seem to be just more at peace during this time of the year. Just a much overall, it's a better atmosphere, isn't it? Would you agree with that? I think it's just kind of a better atmosphere, like in our culture in general. And what that atmosphere does when people are kinder and they're more generous, there's generally less tension. Not all the time, and not blanket, you know, this is not a blanket statement, but generally there seems to be less tension. Because people are nicer, there tends to be less tension between people. Oftentimes, relationships that have been strained, at least they get, even if it's just the obligatory, but it's at least a courteous hello instead of just dead silence and various other ways that can be expressed. And less tension between people outwardly generally means less tension with people inwardly, less inner turmoil, because people think, oh, things are better, or people are doing things and they feel better about themselves. There's more inner peace, and so there's more rest, more peace. Again, I'm painting very broad strokes here, but generally speaking, this time of the year. Now, that peaceful atmosphere is really championed by our culture, isn't it? Even our culture's radio stations and media ads and stores. You know, stores sell decor that says peace on earth. There are songs that say peace and goodwill, and they're sung and they're at least listened to by countless numbers of people all throughout our culture and the United States. And so as a whole, there seems to be generally more peace or rest during this time. And I think that I've expressed it in a variety of different ways for you can kind of relate, and you're starting to understand what I'm saying here. And by the way, I think this is a good thing. I think it's a great thing. It's a good thing for our world. I think it's a good thing for our culture. And I hope you enjoy it. I hope you're part of it too. And as I was thinking about peace, at the same time, while it's a good thing and we should be part of it and we should be sharing peace and being part of the solution and being part of the rest and all of that, I think at the same time, there's something I want you to think about. I want you to think about your life, and I want you to think about this issue of peace. It's something you want, isn't it? Something that you look for, something you enjoy. And as I was thinking about this, that old pastor named Spurgeon, he said this of this topic of peace. He said, quote, "Every precious thing in this world is sure to be counterfeited." And so here's what I want you to think about today, this morning. Is this peace in your life, this peace that we see generally expressed in our culture, but specifically think about you, is this peace in your life that you have, is it a genuine peace or is it a counterfeit peace? Now, when I say I want you to think about this, I anticipated the crowd today and would mostly be, mostly that would be here would be believers. And so I believe that the large majority of you are. I don't know all of you and your stories, but I don't know what your story is online if you're listening. But I want you to think about this. When I say you, I want you to think you as a Christian. Is your peace counterfeit or is it genuine? Is this peace in your life only drummed up because of the season that we're in? Or do you have real peace in your life? Is it rooted? Is it grounded? And the season doesn't change it. So I want to look at this morning. You know, what you want is, and what we're all looking for, and this morning I'm talking about peace, and I'm talking about it in a subjective way. You know, what is that peace? If you look at the general dictionary, what most people are talking about, it's tranquility. Most people in life, they want this tranquility. Or if you look at the original words in the text, the Greek, it's words like calmness, or rest, or harmony. So what is peace? It's that calmness and rest and harmony, that tranquility of life, both outwardly but also inwardly. And we want that rest of life. Everybody wants it. Now, there are a few cantankerous people out there. I mean, we all know them, right? But by and large, most everybody wants this inner peace, this harmony, this rest. We don't like to be like the waves tossed. We don't like to be those waves that are beating against the rock. We just don't want that kind of life. And it doesn't matter what age you are. You can be 13 or you can be 113. We all want that kind of life. We want a life full of favorable circumstances. You want your life to be like that big smiley face emoji, right? Singing, "Don't worry, be happy." You know, the Bobby McFerrin world, or if you would rather, the Bob Marley world, right? Everything's going to be all right. I mean, we all want that kind of life. Now, you might not want what goes along with that stereotypical reggae life, but you sure want the Jamaican beach and sunset in your life, don't you? The point is we want that peace. So where do you find it? Where do you get it? Where does it come from? I mean, you can't go to Walmart. You can't go to Kroger. You can't go to Wegmans or wherever the store is of your choice. And you can't buy like a whole huge, like you can't buy everything on the shelf and overdose and everything's good. Where do you get this peace? As a Christian, where do you get it? Now, I ask that question, most of you immediately can give me the Sunday school answer, right? The Sunday school answer is always Jesus or God. Once in a while, the Holy Spirit. Right? And so you could all give me that the right answer is God, and you'd be right. But even though you know the right answer, some of you here functionally don't live it out. Some of you functionally don't believe it. You don't find your peace rooted in the foundation of who God is. You're finding your peace in other places. That old pastor Spurgeon that I just quoted, he said, every precious thing in this world is sure to be counterfeited. And then just a little bit later on in that sermon, he goes on to say, if it be a piece of the devil, counterfeit, if it be a piece of the devil, the sooner it is broken, the better for the soul. And so, friends, this morning, I want to look at that peace that I'm talking about, that subjective peace, that tranquility, that harmony of life that we all want to look for, that we all want to experience with our coworkers and our jobs, with our families, with our spouses, with our children, with our fill in the blank. Where do we find that peace? And so ask yourself this morning, where do you find it? To what do you turn? And Spurgeon is exactly right, because there are some things that are just counterfeit pieces, peace, where we find counterfeit peace. Now, there could be a variety of different things, but I just want to look at four general ones this morning, and I want you to participate and to think through, am I finding my peace, my value and worth, and where I find that harmony of life? Am I finding it in these things, or am I finding it in God? Am I finding it where I should find it? Some of you are functionally finding your peace through relationships. Like some sort of relationship with a friend or a spouse or with children. Now, by the way, it's obviously a good thing to have a good relationship with people. We want that. We all strive for that. You know, we all want great relations. That's not what I'm talking about. We should have good relationships. We should work hard at our relationships. They should be good. We should enjoy. They're gifts from God. We should enjoy relationships. But I want you to think about is this. Do you find your life's peace, though, through the relationship? I mean, do you think that as long as you're good with this other person, or if you're good with your employer, or if you're good with your kids, or as long as those relationships are good, you'll go at any, like, then life is just fine, because you want peace. You're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, that's a question I've never really thought about. Or you might think, well, how do you tell? Well, ask yourself, how does that relationship work? How does the relationship with your spouse work? How does the relationship with your kids work, or your employer, or a friend, a brother, whoever? How does it work? Are you one to never say anything to upset the other person? Are you one to never confront something wrong in the relationship? When a possible conflict comes up, do you go to whatever lengths possible to make sure things are good? Let me say it another way. If this other person is disappointed in you, does it devastate you? If so, most likely you're trying to find your ultimate peace in that relationship, in that person. But is that really peace? I mean, if you're not able to handle with real life situations with another person, if you think, oh, I'll just sweep those things away, or I'll just pretend they never happened, or I'll let them get away with whatever it is, they just for the sake of peace and harmony and life, just for the sake of is it really a restful relationship? Is it really a relationship where there really is true harmony? Is it really restful to have to jump through so many hoops and to keep people happy and to keep yourself out of the doghouse? Is that peace really peace? Doesn't sound like it to me. Never get to rest. You're always worried about if you're going to make them upset and, you know, create waves or something, and then there goes, they're going to go off, you know, and there's just no peace. And so you find your peace in relationships. Perhaps that's you. I'll talk more about this in a minute. Some of you find your peace in the counterfeit of the religious. Some of you look at your religious heritage. You look at your religious practices, your religious... This is probably the biggest one. Your religiously grounded morality. You think, aha, you know, I'm good. I'm a good moral person. I do this, I don't do that, etc. So some of you find your peace in the religious. Well, let me ask you a question. What happens when you mess up? And you will, because we all mess up. What happens when you don't practice? What happens when your religious practices aren't as good as somebody else's? What kind of, if that's where you find peace in life, and then, you know, let's say that I'm really good at X, whatever X is, and then here comes Johnny in life, and I see, and he does X better than I do X, whatever that would be. Now what happens to me? Man, I used to find peace in that. Man, I was really good at this. I mean, I was really good at, I'll take something silly. I was really good at passing the plate as an usher. I passed it better than anyone else. Here comes Johnny. And he went to usher school. He learned how to professionally pass an offering plate. And he does it well. Now what happens to me? There's no peace anymore, is there? You say, that's a silly... Yeah, it is, but we... Sometimes we find our peace through the religious stuff, through the Christian stuff we do. As long as I do it well, or I do it better than somebody else, or as long as this... But what happens? What happens when it doesn't go as well? What happens if somebody does it better than you? Where's the peace then? Along those same lines, number three is some of you find your peace through comparison. You view your life through the lens of other people. You compare your life to someone else and say, well, I'm good, or I'm not as bad as that person. You find your ultimate peace in life through comparing yourself to others. Well, what happens when someday you get a friend and her name is Mother Teresa? Right? You know the proverbial, you know, we say that. And this friend of yours is like Mother Teresa, and you just realize you're not. When you compare yourself, what happens then? Where's your peace then? Where's that rest then? Where's that harmony of life then? Where's the tranquility of life then? If that is what provides peace to you in life, then wouldn't you work all the harder to get better than, I'm going to work all the harder and I'm not going to go to usher school. I'm going to usher college. Take that, Johnny. I got you beat now. I'm going to university. So what do? We're not resting. It's not a tranquil. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do well at things. That's not the point. I think you understand that. The point is, sometimes that comparison really doesn't lead to a peaceful, harmonious type of life. It leads to nothing more than what? Unrest. We work ourselves to death because that's the source of our peace. One more. Some people find peace through comforts. For some, if they possess the comforts of life or a certain lifestyle, they're at peace. Well, question. What happens if that car you find peace in, that car that gives you such rest and you feel like you've arrived, or that car, what happens if you get in a wreck? That's even not your fault. What happens if you lose your job and you can't travel like you want to travel? What happens if you just happen to live in Kentucky and a tornado comes through and your house is no longer? And that's horrific. That's horrific, but it's possible. What happens if you found your value and worth in your stuff that was in the house and there's nothing left? I don't know if you saw those pictures. It's horrific. What happens if, God forbid, something like that, and it's gone? I guess you wouldn't be able to have peace, would you? Rest, tranquility, because that stuff is gone, and now I got to start over, or now I got to resecure it, or can't believe that car cost me this, and now it's... I can't believe that. And so now there's no peace. There's no rest of life. There's none of that. Friends, all of these is what Spurgeon would call counterfeit peace. They cannot give you the ultimate peace or tranquility of life that you're looking for. They just can't. And here's why. They can't give you that because they're all based on circumstances. If the relationship is good, then you have peace. But what happens when it's not good? There's no peace. If you have comfort, you have peace. If the circumstances are good, then you have peace with all of these things. Well, what happens when those things, those circumstances change? Where does your peace go? If your source, if you're rooted, if your peace is based on those things, and those things, that they get messed up, or they get rearranged or something like that, or they just completely disappear because your circumstances are different, where then is your peace? You don't have it. Those things have never been able to give people the peace that they want in life. Now, sure, you know, we should enjoy those things. And men have been trying to find peace in life through all of these things for millennia. But there's a man named Solomon. And Solomon wrote to us a diary. And that diary is called Ecclesiastes. We've gone through that as a church. And Solomon thought he would find peace in his life through all sorts of things. He tried work, he tried experiences, he tried singing, he tried laughter, he tried wine, he tried relationships, you name it, he tried it. And at the end of his life, he would come to this conclusion. He said this in Ecclesiastes, nothing is certain in his life. Solomon affirmed that yes, those things, like relationships and comforts, are not in and of themselves bad. Enjoy them. If you have a Lamborghini in your garage, enjoy it. Preferably enjoy it with me. But enjoy those things. If you're able to travel, great, enjoy it. Go skiing. Go to wherever it is you like to do. Those are, but listen, Solomon thought, look, these are going to be the, but they just, he was restless. He tried it all, and he didn't have that inner peace that he wanted. But they can't give you what you're looking for when it comes to peace. Friend, if you're trying to find peace in life through these things, then you have a counterfeit peace. If you need the Christmas season, if you need Christmas, all this stuff to conjure up peace and to give you peace in life, it's not a genuine peace. It's a counterfeit peace. But the good news is, this is great. You should smile. There's good news. The good news is that there is real peace for you as a believer. And I think you know this, but sometimes, just like life, we need to remind ourselves of the basics. We need to remind ourselves of truth. We need to renew our minds and rest back in what we know to be real, what we know to be true. Before you can have and experience this subjective peace that I'm talking about, this subjective peace that we're describing here, this tranquility, this harmony of life, that means you have to have experienced the objective peace. Meaning, you can feel or experience peace in the subjective things of life, but that subjective experience has to be based upon what really is. You will always be tossed around. You'll never experience subjective peace if you don't have the right foundation. If you don't have a foundation that is not connected to feelings, that is a foundation that is not connected to circumstances, to those subjective things, because they change. There has to be something that you're able to anchor to that doesn't move. Is there anything like that out there? There has to be something that you're anchored to that doesn't change. Is there anything like that you can think of? If there is something like that, where it doesn't matter your circumstances, then there is the possibility to have peace. The Bible tells us that it is possible for believers, for you who have and know Christ as your Savior. You can enjoy these things in life, these things that we've talked about in life, but you don't have to have them to be at peace, to be at rest. There was a normal guy, just like you, normal person just like you, a guy who wasn't a super saint, a guy who was guilty of some really horrific things. He was just ordinary. And he wrote to his brothers and sisters in a local church in Philippi, a local church with ordinary people just like you and me. And this is what he said. He said, "For I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether I'm well-fed or whether I'm hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want." In other words, he said that he was able to be okay with all of the stuff in life that he was experiencing. He was able to find rest. He was able to be at peace in his circumstances. Why? Because his peace wasn't tied to those circumstances. And do you know what those circumstances were for this guy named Paul? He said in another letter to some other believers, normal people just like us, he said he had been in prison more frequently than any of them. He had been flogged more severely. He had been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent night and day in the open sea. And he's not talking about like on a yacht, you know. He's talking about probably floating and hanging onto a board. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger in the sea, in danger from false believers. He says, I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. That would be enough to get me right there. I've known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I've been cold and I've been naked. And beside everything else, I face daily pressure of all of my concerns for all of you and all of the churches. You know, whoever is weak, do not I feel weak too? And in the face of all of those horrible things, of all of the negative circumstances that he faced in his life, he did what? He learned to be content with whatever circumstances he was in. He learned it. In other words, it didn't come natural. It was a struggle at times. Paul wasn't perfect. And I'm sure someday, when we get to heaven, if we care to ask or care to have a coffee with, because coffee will be in heaven, if we care to have a coffee with Paul, Paul, you sounded really, really spiritual, really, really pious. And but Paul, what's the true story? Like, can you just, Paul, did you ever get angry? And I'm sure Paul's going to say yes. Because Paul's a normal guy just like us. But he learned to be content. That word content is the same word as this word peace that we're talking about. It's the same word as the word rest. It's the same idea as tranquility. It's the same word as the idea and understanding as the word harmony. He learned to be in harmony. He learned to be at rest, whatever the circumstances. Why? Because he knew it wasn't based on circumstances. Because those change. And he knew one of the things that he was anchored to, there was one thing he could anchor himself to that would never change. I think Augustine said it best. He said this, only the love of the immutable can bring tranquility. What is he saying there? What's Augustine's point? The word immutable there is the word, it's a fancy way of saying it doesn't change. He's saying your circumstances change. He said our problem is that the reason we don't have peace, the reason we can't have peace, is because we're trying to find our peace in mutable things. In things that circumstances take away from us. But there is one thing that is immutable. There is one thing that doesn't change for us as believers. There is one thing that circumstances can never take away from you, no matter if it's being shipwrecked, no matter if it's being hungry or naked or laboring to the body. It doesn't matter. This can never be taken away from you as a believer. As a matter of fact, the worst circumstances in your life only give you more peace if you're anchored to this. And what's that? It's not a thing. It's a who, and his name is God. You know that, don't you? You know that to be true. But we're so conditioned in our culture where we have that flesh inside of us, that sin nature that says, no, it's there, it's found here, and you find it in relationships, and you find it in this. But what happens when those things are gone? So is your peace if it's rooted to those. That's a counterfeit peace. God is the only immutable thing. Church, if you're anchored to that which never changes, you don't need Christmas gifts to be at peace. If you're anchored to that which never changes, your world doesn't have to be continually turned upside down because he or she didn't say, I love you, or he or she didn't look at you the right way, or he or she did not give you the promotion that you deserved, or he or she crashed into your car, and now everything's changed, or he or she, you fill in the blank. If you remember that God doesn't change, that no matter what happens, that he always is the same, that he is constant, then when your world gets rocked, you don't have to, because you're attached to the rock, whose name is God. You know, God reminds us of this throughout the scripture. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6, he says, I, the Lord, do not change, and so you, the descendants of Jacob, you're never going to be destroyed. Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. God, when he speaks and then not act, does he not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Isaiah 40 and verse number 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Psalm 102 says, in the beginning, you laid the foundation of the earth, God, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing you will change them, and they will be discarded, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Psalm 33 and verse number 11, but the plans of the Lord shall stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Psalm 119 and verse number 89, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth and it endures. James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Friends, it's not possible for him to change. Hebrews says that he's the same yesterday and today and for when? Forever. That's how an ordinary sinner like you and like me could write to a church and say that I have learned that whatever state that I am in, to be content. Because Paul knows that God never changes. You can have the life of that subjective peace too, if you're anchored to God. If you're anchored to the objective peace. I want to ask you this morning, and we don't normally do this sort of thing, but I want to ask you this morning for you to participate, and I want to ask you, just with like one word answers, or one thing, what are the things in life that you're so thankful for, that your heart and mind continually run to, that help you to remain anchored in your when circumstances are difficult? What are those immutable things about God that you really, really appreciate? Anybody? What? Okay. God's faithful. Peace. His word. His grace. Always takes care of his people, doesn't he? What else? His testimonies. Oh, from generation to generation. What else? Mercy. His love. His kindness. Friends, these are the things that you should be anchored to because they are immutable, meaning they never change. So why would you be anchored to anything else? Why would you try to find your peace in life through the things that do change? You can't. You can't find it anywhere else. And so, you can have a peace that lasts longer than just a Christmas season. You can have a peace that lasts all year round. And I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. We're all going to struggle. Just like I said, Paul, when we have that coffee with him, Paul, tell me that some other stuff too. And he's going to say, yeah, I struggled here and here and here. It's not a life of perfection. But you sure can have a peace like Paul had a peace. It's possible. Why? Because the Bible, God never changes. He never changes. This morning, if your life has been characterized as a roller coaster, if you're up one day and down the next. People's relationship with you, if their relationship is bad with you, or you're at odds with some. If your life is a roller coaster, if your life's peace changes every time your circumstances change, that's a horrible way to live. That's a horrible life to have. You don't have to have it. Just remember the truth. Be anchored to the truth, to the right thing. But if your life has been that kind of roller coaster, generally speaking, we're all going to face it. But if you would say it's kind of consistent that way, I call on you this morning to repent. I call on you this morning to repent and to renew your heart and your mind and stay anchored to God, who does not change. He doesn't change. And if you learn this, it'll change your life. And so on this morning, the Lord invites you to change your life, to trust Him for your peace. If you'll take just a moment, and if you'd bow your head and close your eyes, we only do that just so you can concentrate on your own heart, your own life. There's nothing mystical about that or anything. It's just for us to concentrate.